Right, quiet in the studio. Quiet in the studio.
Silence your phones.
Digital Cheshire Matters in the pub.
Yeah.
Hence, landlord.
Shh. Here we go. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Abfab, a.k.a. Jonathan Starkey, in that wonderful digital pub that Steve keeps on slagging off. Steve the Raven, that is. He's already in the house tonight. I can see his ugly mug on the screen, and so we don't have to introduce him. Shut up, Steve. All right,
well, sorry,
okay.
You're not exactly fabulous this past week, have you? Absolutely hopeless. You were hopeless at the quiz.
Nobody
absolutely
can hear you.
Hopeless.
Nobody can hear you. They can hear me, though. Right, say hello, Statsman. Glad to have you with us, sir.
Yeah, I'll say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever our lovely listeners may be.
All right, well, let's hope that they're in some sunshine somewhere. Hey, yeah. We're going to go over to the Gazelle, a.k.a. Trevor Nichols. Say hello, sir.
Good evening to all our lovely listeners, all 2K of them.
Yes, that's the one. Big, big, big. We're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Anyway, all right, Steve, say hello.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, all our friends around the world and across Cheshire. Just want to say something very quickly, actually. The landlord was absolutely, hopelessly, devastatingly useless in the quiz I attended on Friday night.
Oh, really?
To let you know. Yes.
Well, I'm going to edit that one out.
The Isle of Man was bigger than Anglesey, as an example, and then you lost the plot.
And you were just going on about a dung beetle. Okay.
Well, I got the answers beetle. I got the answers right.
Yeah, dung. What do you associate with dung? Crap. Yes.
Smell.
Right, okay, that's it. The music's over. We've managed to get through there. Let's go straight on to the roundup, and we're going to go straight in to the BBC director behind the creative decision to censor Rule Britannia and Land of Hope and Glory at Last Night at the Proms is to step down after 9 years. Yes.
Oh, what a shame. Woke is coming to an end.
Yeah, David Pickard, his name was, and he's going to step down as director of the BBC Proms in 2024. And I can tell you now from the comments that basically, they're happy to see him go. I mean, some of the comments are, a nation that forgets its past has no future. And that was from Winston Churchill. Now, I didn't even know the guy was still alive. You know, this. I don't know what it is with these people. I mean, who the hell do they think they are?
I wouldn't stop there, though. I'd just censor the whole of the BBC.
Well, we need to censor BBC News for definite, because they're just not telling the truth about everything that's going on. Now, the next one up is, why is Nigel Farage the only person you can throw any insults at? Why? He just seems to be, you know, everybody seems to insult him, and he never gets a chance to have a throwback at them. You know what I mean?
Well, he's been a target, set up as a target by the establishment for years, simply for defending the country and its heritage and its future and many other things. Against an entire political system betraying the people, as we know. So,
indeed,
he was set up by the establishment as a target, and it's kind of stuck for a while. But you know, he kind of runs with it. He takes no notice and does his own thing, really.
Well, next question: is Rishi Sunak, his leadership, and the Conservative Party in their death throes? Yes. No.
I would say probably not at the moment. I think what they're doing with the autumn statement, which we're going to be covering, is an indication of where they're heading on the run-up to the election. So it kind of fits in with the narrative and the sort of agenda that I commented on a while back, that they're going to pull something out the hat to throw at the people, to, as all political parties do, which is to buy the election.
They are going to be saying, just before the next election, Richette will be coming out and saying, well, we will come out to ECHR.
Yeah.
We will come out to the ECHR if you vote us in again. And then when you vote them in again, forget about it. They ain't coming out of the ECHR.
Yeah. They'll also say, and we're going to stop the votes. Something that they've been saying every Conservative leader for the past 13 years. Immigration is too high. We're going to stop the boats. Yep, all of them. Go ahead, Mark.
Richie said, sorry, Matt.
Is your name Mark?
Well, sometimes only on a weekend. And Richie said the other day, we've already stopped a third of the boats. Duh, it's winter. Yeah.
Something to do with the weather there, Richie. Go ahead, Mark.
What they need to pull out the hat is conservatism. It's as simple as that.
They
haven't got the guts.
What any political party in this country wants to pull out the hat is something called patriotism. They've forgotten their own people and their own country.
Indeed. Yeah. And also they politicized the police. You know, I mean, I've not got that much faith in the police anymore. I mean, it's really, really, it's dodgy, really, because you don't know whether you can trust them or whether you can't.
I'm struggling to have faith in anything at the moment other than Reform UK, the Brexit
party.
Oh,
okay, get the plug in. We're going to be doing your adverts for you, don't worry. Vote Trevor Nichols, Reform Warrington. Only the best will do.
Beware. Certainly.
Beware of fake alternatives.
And as I've said two times this week, Nichols out, Nichols in. That's all I can say.
Oh, that's a good catch line. That's a good catch
Nichols
line.
Out, Nichols in.
Well, one of the Tory MPs basically said that they're stuffed. It wasn't quite put that way, but he said, they're stuffed. We're utterly, utterly stuffed.
Here you
go. No, there it is. So, all right, what about this one? Tory MPs demand anti-woke Manchester Chief Constable replace Met Chief Mark Rowley amid row over light-touch policing of pro-Palestinian protests in London. And that was a story from the Daily Mail by David Wilcock, Deputy Political Editor for the Mail Online. And he's saying that they are calling for, you know, the anti-woke guy from Manchester to go in to London.
That's very interesting, to further signal, as we've been saying, and Mark is saying, you know, and Trevor, that woke is now increasingly coming under scrutiny and people don't want it.
Yeah, that's right. I would go with that. And what about this? Lee Anderson says he was offered a lot of money to defect to Reform. Trevor?
No, wasn't true.
Not true?
No. Richard Tice came out. He said, absolute load of rubbish. He said, we've had discussions with, as we do continually, with all types of different people, and never once was money offered to Lee Anderson.
What, not even 30p?
No. I've just put up a post the other day that I've got a meeting coming up soon on Thursday night, and I am going to sniff out all the Labour spies in the room, and I will be ejecting them myself, and all the Lib Dems and the Greens can defect by appointment only.
How are you going to be able to know the Labour guys? Are they the ones that are going to be saying, like, have the red T-shirts on that says, vote Labour?
Oh, you can tell them a mile off.
You can tell them a mile off.
Is it the purple hair? And that's just the guys.
Yeah, I don't want to go into that, but you can spot them a mile off with the galoshes.
Okay. The galoshes. All right, what about moving on? What about this? Oxfam, again, remember all the controversy over Oxfam? There's a new row saying that people are saying that they're hypocrites because the charity pays at least one worker £340,000 a year, whilst the rest of the staff, use food banks, prompting the first ever strike. Oxfam have had a strike by their employees.
No, you've got staff at a charity using food banks while the CEO is on about £300,000 a year.
That's it. That's the one.
Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Well, you just sit back.
To start on that, really, to be honest with you.
Anybody think? Go on, Trevor.
Yeah, I'd just advise people. Here we go again. It's another day, another charity, another scandal. But when you get all these charities on TV, just go onto Google, put into your Google, how much is the CEO on of X charity, Y charity, B charity, or whatever. And you'll come up with, on average, round about 100,000 plus, going up to 200,000. So think very, very carefully before you give your hard-earned money to these charities. If you look at I've done this, and the only one that I've found that is absolutely seems to be bang on is the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Their CEO takes around 8,000 a year, which is pure expenses. That's less than these people in local government, the local councillors. That's less than the local councillors get.
That's less than Rishi's takeaways for a week at Parliament.
It's just, please do your research before you give up your hard-earned money. That's all I'm saying.
Trev, that's why I took my stuff there last time.
Right. Guess.
Salvation Army.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. I mean,
they don't trust the others. Yeah.
Okay. Guess. Are you ready?
Yeah, go on.
Ready.
I love a quiz.
Not when he's involved. It's hard work, Trevor. It really is hard work.
Yeah, don't go on about the dung beetle again. All right.
It wasn't just that. You got the Loch Lomond question wrong. You got the Isle of Anglesey and Isle of Man question wrong.
Oh, God, that's it.
And then you
first muse of the evening. Okay. Right, there we go. Right. All the staff that are working...
Just a bad loser.
Oh, shut up. All the staff that are working from home for councils... Guess who's paying their house bills for heating?
The public.
Correct. Councils are charging taxpayers hundreds of thousands of pounds for the fuel bills of staff who work from home.
They're weighing in our pockets again and telling us it's raining, aren't they?
Yeah. So
this is disgraceful.
This was done by one of the papers. It said the figures released under the Freedom of Information Act, an FOI, that 11 councils alone have spent nearly £500,000 on their employees' home heating since 2019.
We've got to stop this, and we've got to get back to the original structure.
Yep.
Where people go to work.
Mm-hmm.
It helps the small businesses, it helps the cafes, it helps everything.
Well, tell me something as we move on now, straight away to the national. Has the Chancellor helped the people of this country? In his autumn statement.
I would suggest at this point it's an initial indication they've tried to start and help themselves.
Well, I'm going to give you a close hint. He's given away some things. You have to weigh it against the investment in public services. Now, I know we've just been talking about public services there and the waste, but in actual fact, Jeremy Hunt, if that's how you properly spell his name, is actually given away, done some giveaways to people, which haven't actually borne out. But it's been at the expense of investment in public services, so they've been squeezed. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I do know that investment in public services does happen to smooth the wheels of commerce. And especially for the people of the country. So I'm just saying that. So any other comments? Go ahead.
Well, I would just say initially, he's trying to soften the blow on working people with cuts in national insurance. I think they're going to go further on the run-up to the election with tax issues further, in my view. But also, this is just an indication of where they're going to be heading for the general election, which I believe is going to be next year. And I think it's just a continuance of political parties looking to buy the vote. There's some things in there which are quite interesting in terms of capital gains tax, inheritance tax, which is clearly the Conservatives looking after their very wealthy friends, as usual, and stuff like that. But for ordinary people, I mean, there was things to do with increases in benefits, and stuff like that. But overall, my view is a return to what I said a while ago, which is you've got to look at the guts of the issues facing people, which is energy costs, VAT, and housing costs.
Food.
And unless those three things are going to be addressed dramatically, the vast majority, the millions of people, are going to continue to struggle to live.
Well, they've cut inflation, granted, but all the rest of the stuff has actually gone up. It's as simple as that. Go ahead, Trevor.
Can I ask who has cut inflation?
Oh, it wasn't them. It was the bank. They were claiming that they'd done something.
The way the economic system is run at the minute, it's not the government that's controlling inflation. It's the Bank of England that they're agreeing the independence to. So how the heck can they start claiming
that they've halved inflation?
Yep. It's just... It's just a con. The whole lot is a con. Everything has gone up. We know when they tell you that it's gone up 8%, 10%, 9%, whatever. It's absolute baloney. As we go out every day,
isn't
we look
the word
at the prices.
Bollocks?
Well, it is bollocks, but I'm trying to be polite and I don't want to bleep. So I've said baloney. And who are they kidding? In everyday life, right, we go to the shop and everything is virtually doubling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that I go to Ireland, I'm on about in general.
Or,
everything is doubling.
Trevor, or the manufacturers are making the quantity smaller but still charging the same.
Yes, yes. Shrinkflation, it's called, yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing.
I mean,
but either way round, they're all making money and we're getting ripped off.
Yeah.
And when they come along, the like of Hunt, yeah, I did say Hunt, when he comes along and he gives us, what, 1% off or 2% off, it doesn't mean a...
Well, that's the other thing as well. When he's saying, you know, he's abolishing national insurance at certain categories, that's great. But how much does it actually put in your pocket? We're not talking massive sums of money here. But to them, I mean, as far as they're concerned, they're supposed to be doing budgets for growth. Now, the OBR are actually not too impressed. They're not too impressed with what's happening at the moment. And they are saying that growth this year is expected to be slightly positive, 0.6%, rather than the slightly negative 0.2% minus. All right? And they're saying that the economy is growing, but not in the way that the government is actually portraying it. It's better than Germany. Okay, we all know that. Go ahead, Trev.
Better than Germany. Wow. Right, let's boost the economy. Let's get into hypotheticals, excuse me. One of Reform's policies.
I knew he'd start mentioning Reform.
He's on
the election trail.
Political broadcast.
No, the only reason I'm saying this is because it's absolutely relevant to what Jonathan said there on about creating growth. And I'll tell you the reason why, the double reason why. Reform are saying that they're going to raise the payment of income tax. When you start paying the income tax at first, it's going to raise it to £20,000.
£20,000, yeah.
Right. How are they going to cost it? The way they're going to cost it, this is just black and white. I mean, there's lots and lots of issues to it, but the way they're going to cost it is by cutting £5 in every £100 spent by the civil servants, government, etc. £5 in every 100, that's not a massive amount. The savings are £5. If we start getting these civil servants, we're going back to what we said earlier, back to work, get them back into the office in London, get them back out there, spending on the trains, spending in the cafes at dinner time.
You're spreading it about.
That creates growth. And also raising the tax allowance to £20,000. That gives more people more money, more people to spend, more money to spend. That creates growth. Not fiddling about with 0.5%
here
and there. Why they're making billions out of it.
You're agreeing with what I said, that investment in public services will actually help generate growth. The OBR is not as positive about growth over the next 2 or 3 years. And it all depends on what the Bank of England does with the rate. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, talking about growth, they've done a few things, haven't they? But when you look at where a lot of the money's going, I mean, you've got 960 million going to green industries for growth acceleration, 2 billion for zero emissions in the automotive sector.
Yeah.
I mean, we can see where this is going again. And that's fine, given all these big companies, you know, money. But what about the small businesses? I know they've given us some relief on the rates, but when they give it you with one hand, they take it away with another by, for instance, raising the minimum wage. That a lot of small businesses are going to struggle with this. And none of this is even close to compensating the loss in revenue for when they forced businesses to close.
Yeah, absolutely.
That minimum wage hospitality. That minimum wage mark, as you well know, £1. That's fantastic. Don't get me wrong, that's fantastic.
It is.
Right? Going from £10 to £11. But that £11, that's £40 a week.
Yeah.
You think if you employ 100 people, 200, you know what I mean?
Multiply that, yeah.
Honestly, exactly. I mean, see,
but as regards to small business, I mean, £40 a week, that's a lot of money.
Why is he attacking the benefits claimants? I mean, you know, he is really going all out for those people. I mean, he's made it clear.
Look, let's get it black and white. I'm sick of biting my lip over this lot, right? Let's get it black and white.
Go on.
Let's get them people. Let's get them back on the boats. Let's get them back to where they are. That saves us $4 billion a year.
Yeah. We're right? not talking about benefits claimants. We're talking about illegals now, aren't we?
What about illegals, yeah? I'm sick to death of hearing people saying we're going to cut benefits for the people of Britain. The British people, whether you're disabled, whether you're mentally ill, whether that's a disability, I'm not sure, but whatever, right? I'm sick to death of hearing them saying we've got to cut their benefits. We've got to cut. No, the benefits we've got to cut is the soggy ones in the hotels. Get them back to where they come from and stop raping our system.
Yeah.
I'll tell absolutely. You what, I've got to go to the doctor for a blood test, and that didn't help.
Go ahead, Mark, and then Steve. Go ahead, Mark.
It just annoys me how full of it
they
are.
The blood pressures are going up here. We can see it visibly.
I'm going to try and stay calm. Hunt said these plans hope to, and I'll quote him, recognise the roles of pubs and high street shops in our communities. They are the ones who've allowed pubs and high street to be destroyed.
To wither and die?
And the problem here is, when we've got expensive bills, and I'm sorry, but the price of drinks are far too high. They've changed people's drinking habits since the Great Panic of 2020. Alcohol duty needs to be dramatically lowered if we're going to preserve pubs and hospitality. Because you're looking at £5 a pint round here, at tops.
Yeah.
And then London, £8 and £9.
For look, a pint of beer.
People are being outpriced, and they will have no choice but to stay at home.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just, like Trev said, they're just full of it.
What is the agenda, Mark?
There's an election. That's the agenda.
It has to be the agenda. It doesn't. Yeah. It's not common sense. It doesn't make sense to keep closing pubs. That's
where people congregate and talk.
Yeah, but that's
free speech in pubs.
Each pub is staff of about, I don't know, Michael, no, a staff of about 4 or 5 people. Every time a pub shuts, about 10 a day, 11 a day, 12 a day, all those people are going on the benefits that they're trying to stop. And there's 1.5 million on benefits. Post-COVID than it was pre-COVID. Yep. 1.5 million on benefits.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Trevor's hit on a major point here. My illegal immigration, we believe, is costing about £4 billion a year. Then we've got the foreign aid bill, which I think is something we need to take a look at, because I believe it's around about £10-11 billion a year, if not more.
And with David Cameron coming back in, we know exactly what's going to happen.
As we briefly mentioned last week.
Lord Cameron.
Well, he's just been parachuted into his position, which is, you know, incredulous in itself. I believe he's announced he wants to start giving more to other countries. As far as I'm concerned, this country is giving probably losing £20 billion a year in foreign aid, putting up illegal migrants in this country and many, many other things. Quangos, extraneous salaries at the top end of local government.
We need a bonfire of the quangos. We need to start getting rid of a lot of them.
We're talking...
bonfire like the laws. Yeah.
We're talking foreign aid, the cost of illegal migrants... Quangos, lots and lots of different. We could probably save £20 billion a year. We get rid of a lot of things and we cut all this nonsense out. And why on earth should British people? And here's another thing, something that was never really spoken about in this autumn statement or any autumn statement. And this is a big one, actually. People who've worked all their life and retired, why on earth are they still paying tax?
Oh, they pay tax on everything. They're
why?
Just, you know, they
why?
They go
why?
Out.
To pay for the migrants.
Yeah. They get taxed on what they earn. They get taxed on what they spend their money on. They get their pensions. They get taxed on their pensions. You name
but
it.
They've done it all their lives. They shouldn't be doing it in retirement.
No, that's right. Go ahead, Mark.
I'd actually go to the extent and say again, and I repeat this every week, we need to get rid of the people who are causing these problems. Now, I wanted to comment this earlier, but I didn't get a chance to get in. When you say he
that's because Steve wouldn't let you speak.
Oh, no, it was at the beginning. I was just letting
it was
him,
you.
Sort of,
you keep
someone was
jumping
talking.
In.
But, yeah, like you've just done then. Anyway.
Like you just did then. Yeah, see that, Raven? Just like you
right,
did.
No.
Stop being childish. You're so childish. No, 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 no.
Yeah, we can sit here and go on and on about he's cut this and he's raised this and he's done this and he's letting people have this. None of it matters until we get rid of the people who've caused the problem in the first place.
Correct.
On one hand, they say the global inflation crisis, global, and global economic crisis. Yet on the other hand, they're happy to say, I've just brought down inflation. These people just lie to our faces.
Yes.
I think that they're actually trying to convince themselves of these lies because no one believes them.
Well, they're failing it's to incredible. Lie convincingly.
They're just a failure. Truth. You could have just stopped at that.
Yep.
I'd like to know, how did he actually bring this inflation down?
Well, they didn't.
No, did they say how? Well, then what's going to happen in a few years is the quantitative easing is going to come back and it's all going to, and it repeats and rinses again. And then we go through all this. Oh, the people are poor. It's a cost of living. No, you've caused it.
So the truth of the matter is that we're looking at an autumn statement that actually didn't really give much. And it's just like sort of a stagnant position. Go ahead, Trevor.
Down by politics again.
Yeah. Stagnant government.
Yeah, I think I just better clear up this my situation before I start getting dog poo through my letterbox. What I want to clarify is that it's not the migrants. I am not for 1 minute blaming a migrant. I am blaming the system.
Yeah.
That's what I'm blaming.
Well, no, I think the illegal migrants, I mean, they know exactly why they're coming over.
No, the illegal ones, I'm just talking about migrants in general. You know, I mean, there's no better giving country than Great Britain.
Yeah.
I'm not on about that. I'm just on about the whole system has got to be stopped.
Well, it's a gravy train for politicians. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and lawyers, etc. You know, that's another story.
Well, the legal system makes a ton of it. I mean, I regard the legal system. I regard the legal system that attaches itself to the government in the same way that local press does to the council authorities, because they get all the advertising for the council. And you know, you just sit back and you just go, well, they're nodding dogs. They're just going to do and say whatever the councils are wanting them to say or giving them the angles, because quite simply, they're getting all the advertising. So the legal system is always going to bend towards the people that are paying the bills. Go ahead, Trevor.
Which was doubly endorsed. About
doubly,
what?
Doubly.
Doubly and quadrupled exhaust. About that Shillot the other week. Warrington Guardian was shouting from the rooftops that Shillot had got that march moved back. Yeah. She hadn't got the march moved back. As I questioned her about it, she said, I never said that.
Did she say in that week? I never said that.
Yeah, that's how I've seen it. You come across that on the...
So you heard that vocalised in your mind. I never said that.
Because that's what she's like. She's just, professional. We know what it is. Professional victim. I'm not going to keep going on about her.
Okay, well, finish this.
She'll be dealt with at the next election by Reform UK. So that's it.
Finish this off, Mark. I want to go on to something.
Yeah, I'll be quick. I was going to say, I went halfway through the podcast, but already we've hit about three lies that are blatant. Yep. There was the Lee Anderson, there's the inflation, and there's Charlotte. It's just like never ends.
And then you mentioned just the BBC.
I forgot about them. Yeah, more like, just turf all these people out and let's start afresh.
Oh, yeah.
And let's get them gone.
I want to start our own police force. I want to be able to unsubscribe. Exactly. Right, from the police that we've got, and I want to subscribe to our own police and the council. I want to unsubscribe from their services.
Yeah. Well, hey, if they don't speak to you, that should be grounds enough to not give them any money.
Yep. That's what I want to do.
How dare they?
What
you're talking about there, landlord, is initiating Article 61.
Okay.
And just to round this off, if I may, do, just in case nobody's aware of it, there's about, I think it's 2.6 million at the minute. They were refusing to pay the BBC licence, something like that. Now,
heroes, absolute heroes.
Heroes. Now, they're all running around at the moment, the politicians, finding out what to happen. And they've now proposed that they're going to add it to the council tax as another, like the police precinct.
Oh, no, the BBC licence fee added to the council tax.
BBC licence, they are now toying with it to add it to the council tax bill so it gets paid.
Yeah, they'll find a way.
You know what's going to happen, don't you? All the people that are on benefits will get the BBC for free.
No, yeah, of course they will.
Yeah.
Well, it's not only that. What you're seeing here is a mechanism indicating a government which is operating in a rather communist style, that forcing people to do things.
The conservatives are not conservative. They're socialists.
No, communist, I said.
Conservatives.
Yeah, you've got a government which is mandating authoritative-style practices of finance for organisations and propagandist organisations like the BBC, which is what it is. It's a leftist propagandist machine, and the government wants to seemingly force this upon people through potentially the council tax bills. Well, you know, shove your communism where the sun doesn't shine up.
Okay, so you don't like communisms. You don't like Marxists. What do you like, Stevie?
Freedom.
Freedom!
Hey, sounded like Braveheart.
I was like Brian Blessed then.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It'll clean your kitchen with no problem. Yes, just mop up the floor with a Marxist. All right. Okay. Well, that kind of wraps that one up. All right. Let's move on to the local and Trevor.
Oh no! I was going to get my phone here. How's the bin mum?
God, your bin must be stinking now, mate.
His back passage really does stink. He's told me.
Tell you what, my back passage is rancid and getting worse by the week. And on that little note there, I will throw in my festive fun for this week.
Oh, yes. We need some festive fun.
We're starting with Christmas, Trev.
We're starting with Christmas, yeah. And I'm going to throw in my festive fun just for this week. Santa says to the little girl, what would you like for Christmas? The little girl says, hi, Santa. Can I have a unicorn for Christmas, please? Santa, be realistic. It's got to be something that I can make happen. Little girl says, okay. Mum says, can you get our bins emptied before Christmas? What colour unicorn would you like? Now, that's just before I go into
that's
it.
That's a Warrington joke there. That's a Warrington joke. Very, very good. Trevor, what have you got for us tonight? Come on.
Just 1 second. Trevor, I need to ask you a question. You lost a letter yesterday. You said it disappeared in thin air. Did you check under your hat?
I did, and it wasn't in. I shook my head 4 times and it didn't fall out.
Do you know what, Trevor? He's trying to insult you there. You know, it's trying to be a clever insult.
Well, it's not even
registering on the Richter scale.
It's not even funny. I don't.
Yeah, it's not even funny, Steve. All right. No, you child.
That's why I just keep talking over it, because I've heard all this in a playground.
God,
so it doesn't bother me anymore.
It was so childish for such oldies. I'm telling you. Apart from Mark.
Serious.
Well, I can joke because I did the dog eat it, Trev.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a dog. Not funny either.
Yeah. It's not funny, is it? No, I mean, what I just said then.
So why did you say it, Stat? Did the dog eat it?
Well, it was funnier than Steve. Well, it eats homework, so it might have eaten his letter. So he'd heard it in school.
I've not got a dog unless my tropical fish have had a number letter.
Maybe a fish identifies
a joke.
I came out with a proper joke just before Steve said that, and everybody laughed. Well, nobody laughed at what Steve said.
No, so, they didn't.
There we go. Now, what we'll do, we're going on to the local now.
This is not a laughing matter,
by the way. That's why I got my joke out of the way beforehand. Yeah, yeah. This is off an audio recording. Right.
Do you like that? It sounds like your local granddad. This is off an audio recording.
Oh, sorry.
This is off
tape. It made me laugh then. It even made me laugh. You shouldn't laugh at your own jokes. Right, so this is off. This is serious now. This is off an audio recording.
Okay.
From somebody in question in the Warrington Borough Council execs. It's when they started looking into the books, you know, for the missing, I don't know, why they didn't sign off the books, I should say, for all the problems that were there.
Because the accountants wouldn't accept the bribe, that's why.
No, it wasn't enough money. It's a bit like Lee Anderson going back to that. It wasn't enough money, so he didn't follow it. So basically, they were questioning, what's his name? I can't remember his name now.
Mundrays?
No, not the Happy Mundrays. No,
I don't like Mundrays.
No, they're only minions in this. I'll get back to it anyway. I've gone blank for a minute. Anyway, they're questioning the Warrington Borough. The Linton Green, that was it. They were questioning the Warrington Borough execs about the Birchwood Park. And the person that questioned it said, I'm a little bit confused here. He's confused. He wants to live in Warrington, right? So they've spent in total on Birchwood Park, right? This is mind-boggling, this. They've spent in total, they bought it for 225 million. And if you do remember, going back a dozen or two dozen podcasts, they bought it offshore. And there was a little bit of controversy about that. Anyway, they paid 225 million. They spent money on it to get it all sorted. And that was 225 million.
Okay.
Million for Birchwood Park. They spent money on it to, you know, tart it up, et cetera, and build another couple of buildings. And it's just been valued now. And the value this year has been dropped to 216 million.
What?
216 million.
It's a bit of a write down.
That's Kathy Mitchell's assessment. That's the deputy leader.
Well, you know that that write down can be used to offset against any taxable profits that the council might have made. Although the council is not to make any profits really, but anyway.
Well, that one is a loss of 30 million.
Okay.
Then they went on to question the Red Bank. Redwood Bank. Now, we all know about that. I've mentioned it many, many times. Now, they bought that. They bought a third of the shares for something like a quarter of the profit, some ridiculous set out. Now, that was bought for 32 million, right? Are you ready for this? Now, it's just been valued 6.7 million.
Where's all the money gone?
Wow.
We've lost.
Yeah.
Damn, where's all the money gone?
25 million on that one, right?
Yep.
Together Energy, they bought it for 18 million. We all know what happened to that. It went bust.
Yeah, now the lights went out. The lights went out.
The light went out, yeah. And it certainly needed a boost anyway. So that went kaput.
A boost. Right? Where's the dynamo? There's not enough dynamos to get a boost in for that I'm telling you.
I'm just lost for words on this lot. Honestly, I mean, now they're hoping to recoup 9 million on that. That's what they're hoping to recoup, right? They've not got it yet. So that is a loss of 9 million. That's at best. That's at best 9 million, right? So that's a total. On those three alone, 64 million they've cost us.
Yeah, sorry, that's a loss of about 60-odd million pounds, Trevor. What's the total current debt of Warrington Borough Council?
It's got to be approaching 2 bill, isn't it?
It's 1.8, and it's heading to 2.3 in 2024.
What?
Which is a loss of investments. Because they've got a loss of investments, and the interest rates have gone up, so they've got to pay more interest, etc. So you're looking at 2, 3 billion.
Yeah, well, this 64 million is neither here nor there, really, in the great scheme of things with the way...
What do you mean it's neither here nor there? God damn it.
Just look at the size of the mess over there. You're worrying about chicken feed, are you, lad?
Yeah, but these are continual losses, Steve.
Who do you think you are? East Croydon? Who do you think you are talking like that?
This is not...
Who do you think you are? You're talking like Birmingham?
This is not the end of it now. This is not even bringing into account the Hutt Group's biggest ever loan. They lent the Hutt Group 202 million, the biggest ever loan in council history.
Yeah. Well, the thing to remember is the people in Warrington keep voting for these people, so they need to perhaps vote somebody else in new. And maybe
Else can they vote in? There's nobody else to vote for, Steve, other than Reform UK, the Brexit party.
Well, this is what I'm coming to. If they get another MP in who might want to look at all this and get it properly dealt with, then there's an opportunity.
Right, that's it. Muted. Couldn't get a word in edgeways. Imagine this being any other council. It could be any council within the country with idiots in control. I mean, imagine, if they were government departments, they would be having questions asked.
Why? Yeah, but that's all it is, questions, isn't it? I'm just going to add now that...
No, serious questions.
The shares in the Hutt Group halved overnight after the 202 million loan. Yeah. They halved overnight. And there was a big controversy over the Matt bloke who ran it because he was running it as his personal kitty.
Piggy bank. Go ahead,
his
Mark.
His personal piggy bank. And the money was loaned, apparently, to the Hutt Group, and it wasn't loaned to the Hutt Group. They hadn't done the due diligence again properly. And now you've got the serious thing of this again is you've got Bowden and Mitchell.
They've left.
Walk away into the sunset, leaving me... Every single family, man, woman, and child in this town is £11,000 in debt. Every household. £11,000.
It's just too much. too much.
And they walk away. Yeah, but nothing is being done about it.
Trevor, the people of Warrington have a chance to put somebody else in, and I will say, like yourself, through the form, to go in and have a position to do something about it.
What do you think, Mark?
Absolutely dismayed me because, as I said before, they just vote for the pig with the lipstick.
Pig with lipstick. Okay, go ahead, Mark.
I'd say don't mess with the huts because if you end up owing them money, you might end up on Tatooine and Carbonite.
Yeah.
That's a little Star Wars reference there.
Pizza the Hut.
I went over my head, Mark.
I thought it might, yeah. And Trev's.
And me, I have never, ever seen.
Well, how's this? Is this going to go over your head? I'm calling it. Steve, get to the bar.
No.
Get to the bar.
I've had one drink, which was last Saturday night, late on, for the first time in 3 months. I had a couple of nice whiskies.
Do you know how many pints it takes you to put on 1 pound of fat?
I don't know. You'd be the expert on this.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you, it takes nearly 30 pints to put 1 pound of fat on your body.
Yes.
So I want to know, are you the record drinker, Steve?
No.
And it can't be me and Trevor because we are Slim Jims, aren't we, Trevor?
I'm rather svelte at the moment.
Svelte. Yeah, well, I smelt something.
You can't move it out of speed, get it in weight, I'll tell you. Not the way we move.
Yeah, telling you. We are so slick. It's a different kind of move, you know what I mean? Got to move like Jagger. Did you like the sound effects?
I've got the moves like Jagger, and I've had more parties than Jagger.
Indeed.
That's
fucking good. Indeed.
It's no good taking the landlord to a party. He can't stay awake at a quiz.
Oh, get lost. I was feeling tired that night. I was. You know, and all this talk of crap, you know, when you were talking about dung beetles and all the rest of that stuff. Go on, Mark. Give us something new here. Give us a shout out, a shout down, something that's going to shut him
okay.
up.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a massive shout down to the Met police for what I witnessed on Sunday, which is actually mind-boggling, and yet more proof that we no longer live in a free country. Something more akin to East Germany after the war. There was a protest in support of Israel, which actually, compared to the other protests, was extremely peaceful, but it wasn't the march that got my attention. It was the authoritarian actions of the Met. Now, whether you'd agree with Tommy Robinson or not, he was prevented from showing his support for Israel and reporting on the protest by being arrested. What excuse did they use for the arrest of a reporter for the crime of just being in a place where they didn't want him? Well, he applied a Section 35 dispersal order, which appears was solely for him and demanded only he left London because, are you ready? Someone said his presence would cause them alarm and distress.
Yeah.
So a mob of officers made a holy show, conveniently right next to all the press, like it was staged, dragged me away in cuffs, and then disappointingly they pepper sprayed him at point blank range for no reason.
Apparently, it was a Cheshire policeman that sprayed him.
Yeah, it was. It was the Cheshire police who arrested him. And again, now, it doesn't matter if you agree with his politics or not, that this was a blatant abuse of powers and definitely politically motivated. And if people don't stand up for those they disagree with in the face of blatant persecution, then there's something wrong with you. Now, if this happened to Hezbollah, Corbyn, I'd speak out too. Now, if this can happen to the likes of Tommy or anyone else...
It can happen to anybody.
It can happen to anyone they disagree with. It's unconstitutional, not in line with our tradition of freedom. And it proves if we don't stand up to these bullies, this country's finished. You can't even pray silently on the street. You can't say a police officer looks like a lesbian without being treated like dirt. It's disgraceful. Look at Julian Assange. I'm ashamed of this country.
Yeah.
It's gone to the dogs.
It's wrong. There's something definitely wrong. And once that trust in policing goes, that's it.
I've got something more positive, but I think Steve wants to just chip in.
What do you want to chip in, Steve? Go on.
Yeah, I want to say it's actually very serious when we've got the police interfering with public expressions of protest, especially when this chap, Tommy Robinson, was expressing sympathy for Israel and opposing the rise in anti-Semitism in this country, which is appalling.
He did.
So I'm, first of all, glad he is expressing his opposition to this. And I find it appalling in particular that the police per se are closing down and removing an individual, whoever it is, for expressing a point of view.
Especially Cheshire police.
I'm highly disappointed if it is Cheshire police, as it appears to be.
It was Cheshire police.
It was.
The fact of the matter is, in all of this, is we're moving towards, as Mark has said, and I've said it many times, a totalitarian state where the police interfere. That we need to be reminded, everybody listening to this and across the country needs to be reminded that the police's role is simply to uphold the law.
Yeah.
And apply the law if the law has been broken.
And it's, it raises
awful
a
act
big...
has taken place. If he's not engaged in any unlawful act other than somebody expressing a point of view that his presence may cause alarm, my presence causes alarm.
It does.
I don't really give a damn. I will say what I want to say, express what I want to express, and give other people the right and freedom and privilege to do so likewise.
Well, in that case, shut up and let's finish that one off.
You need taking to task.
I'm telling you, I'm going to be a fascist on this this podcast. The bigger picture is
I'm seeing those boots you polished the walls at all.
We are losing policing by consent. It's happening. You can see it. You know? Well, I will say at this point in time, we're losing it. It's floundering. It's in danger.
The police are losing the trust and consent of the British people, because let's just remind ourselves of three very important factors in this country, how it operates, right? The sovereign power of this country is the biggest contingent of power,
mm-hmm.
because it's the people who are sovereign. And the monarch reigns by consent, the government governs by consent, and the police, so therefore, likewise, police by consent. And that consent under Article 61 can be removed.
Yeah.
Now, the people of this country need to remove their apathetic state, engage with what's happening to their country and themselves and their future generations, and start to pay attention and do something about it.
Mark, go ahead. Finish this off.
And then we're going to go over this one. It's Christmas time, so this might be disappointing to all you pantomime fans out there.
Oh, no, we're not.
Yeah, he's behind you. Yeah, well, they've had to cancel the panto Jack and the Beanstalk this Christmas in Birmingham, Oldham, Bradford, Burnley, Leicester, Luton and London, because apparently the giant couldn't smell any Englishman.
Very good, very good. I like
that. Labour's working it out.
Go on, Trevor, what have you got to say?
Right, I've got a big shout out and I've got a very serious shout down. Right, I've got a shout out. I was amazed. I was at the I was at Wakefield for the Reform UK candidates meeting.
Oh, I'm with the adverts for Reform, Moriarty. Go ahead.
It's just been a Reform advert all night.
It's always been true. And now we have a party political broadcast on behalf of the Reform Party.
Listeners, it's not even started yet. So I've got to shout. it's a big hello, a big shout out to one of our biggest fans. And I didn't realise this till Thursday. Mr. Noel Matthews is the national organiser for Reform UK Brexit Party.
All right.
He is one of our 2,000 plus listeners a week. And I say plus now because I now found out that he listens every week. So he is 2,001. Right.
No, he counts now, for 10.
Well, I'm not saying anything because we're now friends again. So, anyway.
Yeah, we get it.
I've just read Steve's post there, but I'll have to ignore it. Let's take it off the screen because I want to get serious now for 1 minute. I really do want to get serious. And this is a big shout down this. As I said, I was in Wakefield on Thursday. I needed to nip out to get some coins for the parking machine. And I walked down into the town centre in Wakefield. And it was just like a ghost town. I mean, all the shops were shut, and I had to walk for a good, I'd say a good half a mile before I got a family shop, you know, in the centre itself, which was, you know, the Greg's Pie Shop, etc. So I was walking down there, and I saw, I actually counted them, right? There was three people that were sleeping rough under, like, this veranda thing under these shops. And I carried on down again, and there were people just in doorways. And I finally got down to Greg's, and it was a young girl. I mean, I was, obviously, I had all my togs on, my suit, my tie, etc. And a young girl, she was sat there with a blanket doing outside Greg's, and she said, I'm just listening to the music then. This town's becoming a ghost town. Yeah, and she said, have a lovely day, sir. A young girl sat outside begging, and it was 9 in total on the way down, quarter of a mile, something like that. And it made me absolutely ashamed. I'm ashamed to be British. We treat our own, we treat them like dogs on the street.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
I'm sorry to go on again, but these migrants, they're living like kings.
In comparison. Right. And also, they're complaining about their Wi-Fi.
I'll tell you what, they've got in Warrington now. I've just been told this week, I don't know why people keep telling me, that they're struggling to pedal the cycles. So they're getting them electric cycles to get them back into town because they're struggling to pedal the mountain bikes. 20-odd-year-old men.
And see where this is going, though, Trev, because when they get too big for the bikes, they're going to need a car.
Yeah.
When they've got a family. Mark, and then they're going to need a house. Mark,
you don't realise what you're saying there. In the blot on the landscape near me, I'm going back 10 years now, 15 years maybe, they were moving in, at the time it was Turkish people, and they were getting free driving lessons.
Yeah,
to make a mobile for work.
Whereas the likes of the people I know have just paid, what is it now, about £40 a lesson or something like that? It's like, £40.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, that's serious, that. I mean, these migrants are living like kings, and our people, they're living like dogs on the street.
No, it's got to change.
But I'll tell you what, Richie, get a policy to deal with that.
Resign.
Resign. That'd be the preferred policy.
You should all resign in shame, a lot of them.
It's a shame. It is.
Okay. All right. Now, Steve, make it brief.
Right.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, moving on.
It's so tiresome. It really is. It wears me down. It really does.
That's the whole idea.
I won't tell you what happened on Friday night at the quiz.
Oh, here we go again.
Tell us the quiz.
The dung beetle.
Go on.
Get on with it.
I will do if you just take a breath, a rather long one. Right. First of all, I'm going to give a little shout out to not you, but some other members of the Starkey family for their efforts. And that's all I'm going to say, their efforts in the quiz on Friday night. And a little bit of a shout out to some of them who ignored some of my suggestions for the answers, which actually turned out to be right.
That was me.
That's another story. He did the best. He wouldn't listen to me on occasion.
I'm so proud.
That's another story. Anyway, my shout down is to all of the Christmas attire and gifts and things that's appearing in shops. Now, I say Christmas rather loosely. So my shout down is to all of those big store chains who are putting stuff on sale for people to decorate their homes, which is completely devoid of any reference to Christmas itself by way of Jesus.
Christ. Yeah, and Jesus.
Now, I'm going to just stick with this for one brief point, which is this. Christmas is not about snowmen or crowns or all sorts of other, lots of other things. I've gone in numerous shops and seen no reference whatsoever for things for people to buy to decorate the homes to do with the actual meaning of Christmas, namely the story of Jesus. And I'm sick of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right? Well,
now, sorry, other religions are celebrated in many ways. Ours is being suppressed, and at the very time of Christmas, it's being whitewashed.
Well,
it is a disgrace.
It's even worse than that. I went into Aldi, did some shopping, and I took one of their magazines, and I flicked through every single page. And I have to tell you that there was not a white person in any of the advertisements. Wow. Not one single white person. Hang on. Oh, look at this. Trevor's got a pair of trousers there.
They're for Steve for Christmas.
Oh, yes.
They wouldn't fit you.
They're for me.
Yeah, for you, Steve.
Fit one of your legs, Steve.
What the audience cannot see here, which you will next year.
I'm sorry.
This is a pair of sparkly trousers for Steve.
On the other side of the door frame, he's got a dress hanging up. This is very worrying.
That's also for you, Steve.
Oh, that'll definitely fit Steve.
That's big stretchy. Enough. Yep. Okay, well, there you go. We finished with all of that. Let's get our good nights over and done with.
It's not good night, it's goodbye.
Goodbye, yeah. Good night, sayonara, auf Wiedersehen. What else? Go ahead,
laters,
Mark.
I'll say laters to all the lovely listeners.
Laters. I love it. Great. Now, there we go. Stevie, go ahead. We can see you rubbing your forehead.
Sweet dreams.
I'm not saying goodnight. I'm going to say goodbye, everybody. I hope you have a good week ahead. I hope you're getting ready for Christmas. I hope you're going to decorate your houses and remember what Christmas is about, unlike the shops, some of the big chains.
Have we got to put crucifixes up and stuff like that?
Say again?
Have we got to put crucifixes up and stuff like that?
Well, we need to remember what Christmas is about, but we do need a fairy for the top of our tree. So if any of you guys are free for a couple of weeks over Christmas...
Well, you know, if it's about Christmas, I want a defibrillator because Jesus came back. So let's get him up and running. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Trevor, totally. Go ahead. Say goodnight, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say goodnight to everybody for listening to my Reform UK
advert again. Get it in.
Advert again tonight. And if anybody's around who's listening on the podcast tonight and you're free on Thursday night, nip down to Walton Legion on Manchester Road. You're more than welcome, unless you're Labour.
Trevor, you might be missing the trick here. You could be winning Labour voters over by...
Nah, not a chance. Ain't going to happen.
No, I've seen him before. And I can smell him as soon as he come in. So don't even bother turning up. You won't be welcome.
Smell the wool.
Are you a socialist?
It's just an unusual invitation to win people over.
Yeah, there you go.
You're not welcome. Stay where you are. Stick with your piggy lipstick. You're not welcome.
We hope that your meeting goes well, sir. And thanks for all the adverts that you put in the show tonight.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Yeah
that's okay. Reform UK. How much should we charge him?